Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, lots of news as far as the borders, international travel, etc., interstate travel for that matter. Let's go firstly to the Kent's Post on Saturday for a local angle. It says here, Far North Queensland businesses were cautiously optimistic after the Prime Minister announced he is cancelling the international border ban 1 month earlier than planned. Now, on Friday, Scott Morrison revealed that once the state hit 80% double-dose vaccination and had a home quarantine program established, its airports would again be open to international travel for people with two jabs. I won't go on with all the details. Fundamentally, it was a series of comments from local tourism operators. Now, this is interesting, though. It did say in The Australian, demand for international travel is so high that Qantas has already sold out. Can you believe this? It wouldn't be cheap, probably double or triple, has already sold out of its December flights as the airline prepares to restart services from next month. I won't go on with the details because I've got a bloke who'll be right across these developments, editor-in-chief at airlineratings.com, Geoffrey Thomas. Good morning.
John, good morning.
I bet you're in demand all over the place. People wondering just how this is going to play out.
Well, yes, look, let's qualify the demand, first of all. Initially, Qantas announced three flights a week to London using the 787, which is about 236 seats. And yes, those flights are very heavily, if not booked, and they've added some extra flights as well. So that capacity is well down on what they had before, because they were running A380s, which have close to 500 seats, and 787s to London. So we're not back to where we were at pre-pandemic levels, but certainly very, very encouraging. And we don't know yet about the US flights, what the demand is on those. But sure, there is some pent-up demand, particularly for friends and relatives and business people.
Those people who are booking now, aren't they taking a big risk? Because we don't know the quarantine arrangements that will apply at the other end or this end.
Look, yes and no, John. There is a website, International Air Transport Association, which is IATA. They have a COVID travel map. And if listeners put those words into a search engine, they'll come up with it. And you can run your cursor over each country, okay, and a balloon opens up. Oh. Now, we are actually classified for the UK as a green country. Mm. There's three qualifications, green, amber and red. We're a green country, and we don't have to quarantine on arrival. Whereas the amber countries and the red countries do. But the thing is, the criteria, the requirements change all the time. It's a very much a moving feast. And it could well be that in transit, a passenger might be in transit to the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom changes our status from green to amber. Yeah. And all of a sudden, guess what? While you're in flight enjoying a movie and a drink, we changed you from green to amber and not even red, and you've got a quarantine. So there are some dynamics, and our health minister, Greg Hunt, highlighted this just the other day. In fact, it might have been even yesterday, when he warned that, you know, while we are opening up to the rest of the world, some countries, if they have a blowout in COVID cases, could be put onto restricted list. So, you know, you could be in Thailand, for instance, enjoying yourself at Phuket or somewhere, and all of a sudden Thailand becomes a restricted country, and you may not be able to get back. So yes, you're right. There are certainly risks in this, and that's why I think that intending passengers are going to look more at New Zealand or Fiji or Singapore, or the United Kingdom, countries where there's a much higher level of confidence about where they're at with COVID, as opposed to countries that are just borderline.
Now, let me ask you this. This is something that was on my mind. Lots of people don't mind Singapore, but they prefer to go on to Hong Kong. And During this whole downtime, I'm just wondering if the attitude of the Chinese government to people coming and going from free countries like us to Hong Kong might have changed. Is there still going to be lots of easy access beyond the end of this nightmare to Hong Kong as we've enjoyed in the past?
At the moment, yes. In fact, the United Kingdom has Hong Kong as a green country, whereas China, I think, is an amber country. So yes, there is, and mind you, it changes. So in half an hour, what I've just told you is meaningless. No, Hong Kong is accessible, and you know, beyond the behind the rhetoric from the leaders of different countries, life goes on as normal, and you know, trade goes on as normal. For instance, you know, we're still sending 30 to 40 tons of live lobster to Hong Kong every other day, whereas, you know, China's, you know, restricted imports of lobster. Well, that's the rhetoric, but the reality is, no, they haven't. Mm. So there's things happening behind the scenes that are just life is normal. So Hong Kong, yes, is a green zone. Singapore, of course, they're opened up. Mm. Now, if you're traveling to Singapore, for instance, you've got to have a test before you leave. Mm. You've got to get a test on arrival. You have to then go to your hotel. You have to wear a mask. Masks are mandated. You've got to wear a mask in Singapore. Mm. And you stay in your hotel until you get a text message telling you that you are free to move around. But you've then got to have a test on day 4 or 5, and then on day 6 or 7 mm. as well, as part of this process. And you've also got to download, one of the other things that travellers have got to do, they've got to download, in the case of Singapore, I think it's called Travel Safely or something or other, or Traveller mm. Safety. It's a local app where they can track you. And you check into different restaurants like you do in Australia. Yeah. So there are lots of layers of protection, if you like. Other people might call them layers of irritation that you're going to have to go through. So the assessment of a number of our editors, the airline ratings, who have done these flights is that visiting friends and relatives, yes. Business people, yes. Leisure travellers, not for a while, because there's just too many complications.
Well, everyone thought the COVID passport on your smartphone would be enough, but obviously not. It's going to be more complex than that.
Well, it is. That's what you need to get out of this country. But when you get to other countries, I mean, you could be going to Singapore, then on to London, then on to France, then on to Germany, then back. Mm. You might have to download 4 different apps in each country for tracking purposes. So, no, there's a fair, like in France at the moment, you can't go to a restaurant unless you're double vaccinated, and you've got to prove it. So, you know, there are all sorts of levels of complication for each destination. And one of the best things I think people can do is seek the help of a really good travel agent if they're traveling to sort of find out exactly what's involved.
Exactly.
So step by step by step.
Oh, isn't this tricky? Let's be honest, it's still 6 months away, isn't it, in practical terms, people wanting to go overseas for a holiday?
Look, I think it is, and to go back to pre-COVID, life, you're probably talking well into 2023 as far as travel is concerned. In other words, I'm talking about free travel anywhere you like, no restrictions, no masks, no nothing. You're talking well into 2023 before that you get to that situation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nice headlines, but the devil's in the detail.
Exactly. I'll cancel London. I'll just go to Palm Cove and Port Douglas. Much prettier anyway.
Well, exactly. Or you can go to Port Hedland in Western Australia or somewhere like that.
You can get across the border, yeah. Good on you, Geoffrey. Thank you.
He's a very
proud Western Australian, is Geoffrey Thomas, editor-in-chief at airlineratings.com. Coming up to 21 past 11.